TED Audio Collective.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. If you're of a certain age, you might have gone through a few iterations of technology as a music lover, from an 8-track player to a 6-disc CD changer. How we listen to recorded music changes from generation to generation. Broadcaster and writer Alan Cross has covered the shifting landscape of music for over 40 years. Today, he looks at the dramatic effect of streaming on music creators and how we listen to music now. And in looking back, Alan Cross starts with the Edison cylinder.
This is the first container that we ever stored music in. Up until Thomas Edison came along with his wax cylinder, music was effervescent. It was there, and then it wasn't. There was no way to store music for later analysis, later enjoyment, later study. But with this, we began to see music preserved for future generations. Now, before then, you know, a song could be a couple of rhymes that you spouted off in the pub. It could be a folk ballad, which went on for as many verses as it took to tell the story. It could be a symphony, which could go on for an hour or more. So the music was flexible. It was like a gas in the air. There was no container for it. But with the Edison cylinder, it had a container, and that container could hold 2 minutes worth of music. Then, around 1900, a guy by the name of Emil Berliner came up with the idea of taking some of Edison's principles and applying them to a rotating flat disc. For the next 50 years, the 78 RPM record became the thing that standardized our appetite for popular music. We began to crave, expect songs that were 3 or 4 minutes. John Philip Sousa believed that by committing something to a permanent storage format, like a record or a cylinder, would lead to unrest and social decline. There were others that didn't like it, musicians unions for once, because, well, if we're not going to be playing live and radio stations and other places are going to be playing pre-recorded music, well, what are we going to do? But then in 1948, Columbia Records introduced something they called the 33 and a third long playing vinyl record. By making the record bigger, by cutting the grooves closer together, and by slowing down how fast the record turned, down from 78 to 33 and a third, they found that they could get 20 to 22 minutes of music on a side of a record before they had to get up and turn it over. So for the first time ever, we had this really long interval where we could just sit back and listen to music. The container got bigger. And this led to an explosion in interest in longer forms of music. And we ended up with wonderful albums from the Beatles and Pink Floyd and Mike Oldfield and so many others. Now, we still maintained our liking for 3 and 4 minute songs. That was perpetuated by the 7-inch single, which was introduced by RCA Records in 1949 as a response to the 12-inch album. And radio really embraced this. We had other containers in the 1960s. We had the cassette, which was invented by a Dutch company called Philips. We had the 8-track, which was invented by, was it somebody wooed the 8-track? Okay. And then we had reel-to-reel tape. But then comes along the compact disc, 1982 and into early 1983. We stopped talking about a rotating disc that had a spiral that was 500 meters long. And we began talking about a plastic disc that contained megabytes of information. Again, we filled the available container. Then we get to the internet. There's no container. It can be as big as it wants to be. And this brings me to streaming. When you bought a record, CD or vinyl. There was artwork that you could study. There were liner notes. There were lyric sheets. This was all really cool. So you had this financial investment in the container and what was on it. And you had this intellectual investment in the container based on what you could divine from it. Streaming, not so much. It is context-free music that goes in one ear and out the other. There is nobody to tell you why that song is important. There is a company behind Spotify called the Echo Nest. And the Echo Nest is forever parsing data from users. They know exactly how we listen to music, how often we listen to music, and how we skip music. This is really important. If a song comes on and you're listening on Spotify, there is a 35% chance that you will skip that song before 30 seconds have passed. Now, this is a really important concept. No one gets paid for a stream unless it runs for at least 30 seconds. So, producers and composers and songwriters and record labels are throwing everything they can at that first 30 seconds to make sure we, with our short attention spans, hang on to that song for at least 31 seconds. This is part of the problem with the Spotify algorithm or the algorithm used by any of the other streaming music services. They recommend music that they think you will like based on what you've already listened to. So it doesn't really work that hard into getting you outside of your musical comfort zone. There are times where you need repeated, unintentional exposure to a type of music before the penny drops and you go, oh, okay, I get it. We have, from what we understand, an infinite database of music in our heads, in our skulls. But there are people who are trying to game us neurologically. So they get prime placement in your container so they can make money, so they can make a career, so they can make music for everybody else. So here is what I'm going to ask you to do, and I want you to take this away and think about it. When you listen to music, try to see if they're manipulating you into sticking around for that 30 seconds. If they are, you can choose to listen to 30 seconds and move on or not. But I really hope that you can avoid the skip button. Live in the music. Listen carefully. And hopefully, maybe by giving yourself that extra bit of time with something that may be unfamiliar, that may be different, that your life will be made richer by the music. Beware what they want you to put into this container, because it's the only one that matters.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in Winnipeg, Manitoba. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Winnipeg. Want to listen to the full talk? Find Alan's talk and more at ted.com/TEDxShorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening and see you next time.